Introductions. I'm just going to call in folks based on where you show up in the participant queue. So, and just say your name, where you are from, and whatever service roles you happen to be involved in. So the first one I see is Brad H.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Brad H., and I'm an adult child, and I'm here on the beach in Oklahoma. And my role is a Comline blog chair, subcommittee chair.
Thank you, Brad. And Charlie, I see next.
Hey, I am Charlie. I am from the greater Washington, D.C. area. I am a literature chair emeritus and still on the board.
Thank you, Charlie. Kathleen.
My name is Kathleen S. and I am from the Chicago area. And basically, I think all I've really done is help write RSG.
Which, for anyone on the call who doesn't know it, is Ready, Set, Go. Thank you, Kathleen. Susie B.
Good morning from California. I'm Susie B. I helped out on the Lit Committee as secretary and various other things. And my main focus right now is helping to write the new book, Getting Started, along with Charlie and a couple other people.
Thank you, Susie. Welcome. Alexandra.
Hello, everybody. I'm Alexandra, and I am right now in the unceded territory of the Sami people, all benefiting off of that, also known as Sweden. I am involved in the Literature Evaluation Committee and the Literature Committee, and I facilitated the the New Hope for ACA workbook and the future upcoming language committee. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alexandra. Laura, would you like to introduce yourself? I see you're muted. Let's come back to Laura and Ponta. Okay, we'll have to come back to them. Sue V.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Sue V. Grateful adult child and humble trusted servant volunteer. I'm in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the snow and ice are starting to disappear, still here, but disappearing, so it's getting a little warmer. And my roles, I am chair of publishing to bring to the fellowship all the wonderful work that a literature does. And a big, big thank you for all of you, for all the countless hours that you're working, especially Ready, Set, Go, and the New Hope, because I'm also the chair of Global Members. And we brought both of those products out to the various countries in Australia, Asia, and Africa, and it's made all the difference in the world to them. So thank you. And I'm also a humble, trusted servant on the board as of last year. So I'll have my 1 year in April. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Sue. I see in the chat that Laura is from California as a visitor, and wonderful, welcome. And Ponta said, tried to unmute, but couldn't. So welcome to Ponta. And I think that leaves us with Susan B, who I believe is in Hawaii. Susan, would you like to say hey?
I volunteer in the Literature Develop Committee. Just came because my alarm went off and so I'm here. Bless you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for being with us today. And just if I've missed anyone.
This is Ponta. Hi, I could unmute now, so thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Ponta. I live in US, but I'm originally from Japan and I'm a Japanese English translator, and I would like to start the Labing Parent Guidebook translation team. And I was just looking at Slack and I just found the Subi's chat. So that's why I came here. Thank you.
Wonderful. Welcome. Oh my goodness. So in case anybody isn't properly impressed, let me just tell you, you people are all over from all over everywhere. It is so gratifying. And it's of course one of the wonderful things about Zoom is that we're able to unite people literally all over the world. So thank you so much for being here. Charlie, a comment?
I just want to let people know Home Depot has finally heard my prayers. So I have to leave the call immediately, but I will hope to catch you guys next month. Take care.
Good luck. Thank you, Charlie. And Greg hasn't joined us yet. I'm not sure. I didn't actually connect with him. So something may be going on with him, but I'm going to just start and say that we've got a couple of different groups of reports and kind of like what we do with the teleconference. My hope is that we can do one report at a time and then take questions or comments from those of you who are on the call. So the first report has to do with a question had been raised, a good one, about what, if any, literature would be submitted at the annual business conference, which is currently scheduled for early in May, to be fellowship approved. And the answer is we do not have any literature that is currently ready for conference approval. As you know, the Loving Parent Guidebook is in fellowship review, and it was first published in either late August or early September. So the fellowship review period is for up to 1 year. And our intention at the annual conference is to provide the fellowship kind of a summary review of the comments that we've received so far. But we're not expecting to close fellowship review at least for some time. The Bill of Rights, and many of you know this, the Bill of Rights has been around. Different groups have their own Bill of Rights, a version to be conference approved has been approved by the Literature Committee and it has been sent to the board. Once the board approves it, it will be released in fellowship review mode for up to 1 year. And we do expect a fair amount of fellowship review because Bill of Rights is something that many groups hold near and dear to their hearts. I can tell you from our having reviewed it, that people feel very strongly about what's in the Bill of Rights. And that's a good thing to have our fellowship weigh in. So we're actually very excited about having a fellowship review and conversation about that. And then finally, there is a healthcare professional trifold. It was released in fellowship review mode. There have been a few comments and those comments for final revision have been sent to the writer team. So as soon as we literature evaluation gets those comments back, then hopefully that will be approved and it will be up for conference approval, not this year, but the following year. So that's where we are with literature in process. We, of course, at the annual business conference will also be reporting on both what's in our queue that we're currently working on and what we're expecting to receive in the near future. So what's in the queue right now for anyone who's not aware, as Alexandra mentioned, we have reader teams that have reviewed the format for a beginner meeting called A New Hope. And those comments are now being collected and they will be I think I can safely say that the reader teams recommended the document with some possible changes. And so those possible changes now go to Literature Committee to decide whether they are changes that we think are very important and must be made or just recommended. And so that's a process of, in essence, ordering the comments in terms of their importance. So that will be coming up to literature evaluation shortly. And the Ready, Set, Go meeting format is assembling its reader teams right now. And we did receive, after the traveler that came out yesterday, I think I received 3 or 4 people who said they would like to get involved with reviewing Ready, Set, Go. That has gone on to Amber, who is on the literature evaluation team and will be leading that reader team. So that is in process. In the queue after that is the connections document, which is the document that deals with support, sponsorship, fellow travelers, et cetera. And so that one will be coming up for review thereafter. And we have not yet received Getting Started, but we are expecting in the coming year that we will be seeing the Getting Started book coming up as well. So that's a short report and hopefully not too overwhelming of what's going on at the literature evaluation level right now. And I'd like to open that up now for comments or questions, and you can just raise your hand. Alexandra, thank you.
Hello, everybody. The two reader teams I facilitated, the group Consciences for A New Hope, they both chose the first option that they recommended with the suggested changes. I just wanted to make that clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alexandra. And, you know, I have to say that Alexandra encountered something new for us in literature evaluation, which was the first group of readers. Many people either didn't understand how long the document was or how much time it would take to review. And so we lost some readers, and then we had to go back and reconfigure the committees and get more people involved. And, you know, just kudos to Alexandra for staying with it, right? And finally getting a reader team that was robust enough to give a full vote. And I want to just say one other thing, because I had the privilege of sitting in on the group conscience. There was one member of one of the group conscience teams who did not recommend, for a variety of reasons, did not recommend the document. And what was wonderful is to see everybody weigh in, everybody offer their opinions. And then this is what a group conscience is. And then at the end of the meeting, you know, Alexandra asked this member, could you support the view of the majority, even though you don't agree with it? And that member said, yes, I could. And for me, that was such a heartwarming moment to see how our group conscience process works. We don't outvote each other. We don't outshout each other. We listen respectfully to each other. And I love the way it happened. I love the way Alexandra, you know, was able to manage that meeting. This was the first time for her, you know, leading a reader group. And it shows how our process works. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I need to work my program first and service second. And if I'm not doing my program first, the service is just, it's not going to work. It's going to fail because I'm going to get too involved with my laundry list. So Alexandra, I thank you again for all your hard work on that. I know that there's some people who feel that, who are concerned that it seems to take a long time for documents to get through literature evaluation. And I understand that. I'm a writer myself. And so I get attached to my writing and I want to know, like, wait a minute, what's happening? Just understand the process takes time. That's because we're working our program around the process. It's program first. And so I just, you know, I honor all the writers and all the writer teams and all the hard work that's being done around our world service. And I just want you to know that I really do honor your work. And if it feels like, why are things taking so long? Contact me on Slack, send me an email, and I'll be happy to walk you through the process. But it does take time. And hopefully we all end up in a place where we can say, I support this decision. Even if I didn't agree with it at the beginning, today I support it. That's a beautiful thing. So just wanted to say that, a little bit of a thank you, because it is heartfelt. And Brad, I'd like Brad just to give us, as many of you know, our Comline was a newsletter that was a standard format newsletter. It was printed in InDesign. It was available on the web. And it went dark for 2 years because we lost our designer. And we re-envisioned it as a blog. And I will say this, Charlie was a big fan of the whole blog idea. The board approved it. Although they did not, they, at least for now, are not approving having replies, the standard reply function that we would have on a blog. But in February, our blog went live with material from all over the world. And I want, Brad, just to give you a quick update on where things stand now. Very proud of this product. So, Brad, thank you.
Thank you, Justine. Just call your attention to the fact that Alexandra has her hand up.
Oh, sorry. I can't see it. I think that was from before. Was it from before, Alexandra?
Actually, it was something else.
Okay, sorry.
If there is time, I wanted to weigh in on the process of the evaluation of A New Hope. If you feel we have time for another comment on that.
Please feel free.
Okay. I think when people didn't have the same opinions, everybody listened very respectfully to the minority. And we incorporated those comments and sent them on. And also the comments were concerned about how it would work for beginners. And that's why this person did not recommend them. And there were like three beginners in the meeting. And so they were very strongly recommending it. So I think it was more than just saying, I will go with the majority. It was a deeper process. Yeah. And my ambition was also to have this ready for the ABC. But since I had to restart the evaluation process because of it's all volunteer effort, it took at least a month longer, and that's the month that we would have needed. So that was because we only have once a year, the ABC. So I really understand the writers that have been waiting for years and years and years and years. And the primary purpose, it's maybe not the most optimal thing concerning our primary purpose, this process. We could probably discuss that. But that was my ambition. But the reason was because the first team volunteers, you know, there's a dropout of at least 50%. And for a big piece of literature, you need at least 10 people, to be a proper group conscience. So thanks for letting me say that.
Thank you, Alexandra. And now I'll turn it over to Brad. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Christine. Well, as Christine said, we launched the blog on February 1st with 10 articles, songs, poems, artwork, and other items. The initial response data showed that 943 visits to the blog in the first week. We decided that we would post new content on the blog on the first and 15th days of each month. And on the second issue, on February 15th, there were 13 new submissions. And on the third issue, March 1st, we added another 17. And the statistics as of March 11th showed more than 4,000 visits to the blog had been recorded. The March issue posted only 5 new submissions because the library of items that we had developed since the original Comline ceased publication was being exhausted and in fact has now been exhausted. And we are working on outreach efforts to encourage more submissions of articles and other content for the blog. So if you know anyone who might be willing to write an article or a poem or submit some other content to the blog, please encourage them to do so. The April 1st issue posted 13 new articles, many of which were poems or other creative content. And that brings the total of items posted on the blog to 58. And in fact, I just this morning received the statistics for the number of blog visits for the month of March, and it shows 4,665 visits to the blog. So it's becoming more and more popular. The feedback we've received from visitors has been somewhat sparse, but uniformly positive. We are also considering creating a page on the blog for posting excerpts from the comments made by anonymous visitors about their experience of the blog. So that'll be considered and possibly added in the future. Recruitment, retention, and training of volunteer writers, editors, proofreaders, and publishers will be an increasing focus for the subcommittee over the next coming weeks, along with encouraging visits and feedback. So please, in your meetings, encourage folks to visit the Comline blog and to write articles and submit them for posting on the blog. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you. Thank you, Brad. And I just want to say before I take some questions about Comline that I think in the past people have viewed the kind of things that members might share being either, you know, personal stories of recovery or creative work. And that's certainly important, and that will continue. We have six channels on the right now on the blog, and one of them is called the ACA Toolbox. And I'm hoping that people will think about some tool that they use in their recovery and just talk about the tool. Because it just occurred to me in listening to Alexandra speak, I would love to hear what she just said written up on the Comline blog, how we reach a group conscience. That would be so helpful. It would be so wonderful. And here's the thing. People don't think of it. They don't think of writing up their actual experience and service unless someone says, hey, that was really useful. Would you mind writing that up? Just take a paragraph or two. So Alexandra, I don't want to put that on your plate, but you see what I'm saying is we do hear things in meetings and we go, wow, that's really profound. That's powerful. So you're all ambassadors for the Comline and you're all writers, by the way, you're all writers. So questions, comments about Brad's report?
Christine, it's Su V. Just a comment. I was with the new Chinese translation team, and they're doing simplified Chinese, the BRB. They're already at chapter 9. And so I took the opportunity to take them for a tour, so to speak, on the adult children website and the Comline. And we hit the translation button for simplified Chinese. I had someone there from Taiwan, so he wanted to see it in traditional Chinese. And it worked beautifully. We only had one little techie issue that I've referred to IT, but it was beautiful. And they were just in awe. They just love the opportunity because one of the things I hear from Japan and China particularly is language is such a huge barrier. I'm sure it is for many countries, but it's such a huge barrier in accessing ACA recovery. And that was just a beautiful example of real-time access to recovery. So thank you all so much for that work. It was just awe-inspiring. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sue. And who would like to see that up on the Comline? I would love to see that experience written up on the Comline. That's how it works. I know. Pongta, you had a comment?
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Sue, for the, you know, setting up the language translation. And that was a really good thing that all the people can communicate. But I need to say one thing. Because Slack, actually, there is a rumor within WSO site, like within WSO, there is a person that who, I don't know, like doing cyber attack or things like that. And we people of color community are very aware. And I don't think the Slack is safe for us people of color right now. So I am actually, I'm not feeling safe in there. So I'm not gonna write anything right now. And please understand, like I like to say those people that for us, we need a safe space. And that's like 1,000 people. And we need to know who are there. And like, I don't wanna show my face. Even talking about this for me is dangerous. Yeah, and so I don't really think that is appropriate for the WSO to ask opinion of people of color or minorities in that kind of open space. That's my opinion, thank you.
I want to thank you very much for sharing. We appreciate your view. And certainly safety is a very important function for all of us. And being an adult child, safety is a huge issue. So I do appreciate your sharing your point of view. Thank you so much. I want to give you a report for Justine and to, which is on a new committee, the Literature and Development Subcommittee. I know Susan B. and there may be some other people on the call right now who are interested in being on that committee or are on the committee. Justine unfortunately had a funeral today, so she couldn't be with us. And I'm not going to spend an enormous amount of time on the proposed charter, but I did want to at least read it so that you could start to reflect on it and see if it's something that you might be interested in joining. Justine has had one committee meeting. The next committee meeting will be the fourth Saturday of April at noon. And that information, there is a public channel for Lit in Development on Slack. And so you can join that channel and you can see the Zoom information for her next meeting. All are welcome, by the way, all are welcome. I see two people have raised their hands. So if it's on this topic, let's see what people have to say. I don't see the raised hands, so please unmute and.
Hi, Susan B.
Yes.
I believe the meeting is at 12:30. I believe the meeting will be at 12:30 rather than 12. I could be wrong.
No, you're.
But I think it's 12:30.
You're probably right.
Thank you, Cass.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan, so much. 12:30. And again, do check that out in the Slack channel. Also, you can contact Justine at justinerecovers@gmail.com. Justine Recovers, all one word. And you can reach her that way as well. Ponta, did you want to ask something?
Sorry, no.
Okay. I'm looking at the raised hand feature here. All right, so the idea of this Literature and Development Subcommittee is, our hope is that they will take this proposed charter and they will decide which parts of it they want to do and which parts of it they don't want to do. So this is simply a draft that was presented to Justine, actually, when she agreed to be the interim chair. So Justine is the interim chair of the Literature and Development Subcommittee. And the idea is this is the committee that will help us establish long-range policy for literature and make policy decisions that it will then present to the Literature Committee. The Literature Committee will then act on those as appropriate and send them on as appropriate to the board. So it's not, it's part of a, it's the thinking tank, the first level thinking tank for some policy issues. So number one, suggest to the Literature Committee updates and or revisions of current WSO approved literature. I'll just give you an example. Some time ago, apparently at an ABC, there was a proposal passed to add questions to the second half of the Yellow Step workbook. That's never happened. And so the question is that something that should happen? Is it a priority? This group will help us make that kind of decision. Two, suggest to the Literature Committee new literature to be developed. Example, I personally, and this is just my own personal view, I believe we owe our fellowship a better and more complete document about how to achieve a group conscience. And that's an example of something that this committee might or might not decide to recommend being developed. They wouldn't write it. They would recommend it. And then the Literature Committee would go out to its group of volunteers and set up a writing group if that's what they decide to do. So under our operating procedure manual, new literature can come from a proposal that goes to the annual business meeting, but new literature can also be generated within the Literature Committee itself. So that's an example of how that might happen. Number three, recommend consistent messaging for the fellowship on all WSO literature. Example, we know that, you may know, that the reader teams are all asked when they're reviewing a document to answer, is the language gentle and loving? And if the language is directive or feels assaultive, they're asked to highlight that. So we want a consistent loving and gentle language to be used throughout our literature. And as you know, at the last annual meeting, we were asked to add more spiritually inclusive language to the Big Red Book. So these are some examples of the kinds of things that we're going to hopefully recommend as policies that then can go out to all of our writer teams. Four, analyze existing and in-process literature to identify gaps, redundancies, and consistent messaging. What we've noticed in a preliminary review of the trifolds is that many of the trifolds repeat language that's in other trifolds. That's, of course, a redundancy. Now, if you're using trifolds as separate documents, you may need those redundancies, but we may decide ultimately that there's a better way of conveying information to our fellowship. Again, we don't know. Five, support literature evaluation reader teams by providing an overview of existing literature and/or resources that pertain to the document under evaluation. So sometimes we have a reader team that's looking at a document and they don't know that there's already a trifold on that document. And many of them who are new in recovery might not know that. So this committee might be highlighting where we already have information on a particular topic. Six, evaluate and report to the literature committee on past or present WSO ballot proposals that involve literature. We don't want those to get lost, right? So if we have a ballot proposal that involved literature, where does that proposal currently stand? Example, at the last ABC, a proposal to sync the page numbers in eBooks with the page numbers in the hard copy was actually sent to the board. And that ultimately got sent on to publishing, which Sue V heads. She's on this call today. And she's in the middle of working on that right now. So we don't want the ballot proposals to get lost. We want to be able to see them all in one place and to see which ones does literature need to do, which ones does publishing need to do, where do we need to cooperate between the two of us. So you get the general idea there. And then that's number seven, which leads naturally as a segue into liaison with publishing. So I sit as a liaison from literature on the publishing committee. Sue V sits as a liaison from publishing on the literature committee. And our hope is that between the two of us, we can share back and forth and make sure that things don't fall between the cracks. Example, we had a recent translation team that added their own footnotes to their translation of the Big Red Book. And so a question came up between literature and publishing. Do these footnotes relate to content? If they relate to content, then perhaps they need to go to the literature committee. That's an example of where liaison is extremely important. Yeah. Eight, create a reporting structure for the fellowship on all literature in progress and update on the website and elsewhere as appropriate. There is a new software platform called SmartSheets, which is proposed to be used for literature and publishing, actually. And our hope is that when that is fully operational, it will create a spreadsheet that will increase our transparency about where matters stand in the literature committee. As it stands right now, I do report on that monthly to the monthly teleconference. But I think a spreadsheet would be an even better way of presenting, you know, what do we have in our queue? When did it come in? When did it go out? And where does it sit right now? And because I know you folks have questions and we want to be able to visually give you the answers in as quick and transparent a way as possible. So it's coming. And then nine, liaison with WSO author teams and report to the literature committee on progress. Yes. So this is the committee that would say, oh, hey, the connections group is, or better example, the getting started group is planning to submit to literature evaluation in 3 months or whatever the case might be, so that we can help plan for what's coming up down the road. Because there are some writing projects in the works that don't normally show up to the literature committee meetings and don't need to. As a result of Justine's first meeting, these are some of the action plans that have been discussed. And again, if you're interested in getting involved in this, We really welcome you. It's going to be a robust committee. It's going to be a robust discussion, and we're glad about that. The first one is to evaluate our trifolds. And we are also considering taking some of our trifolds and converting them into a searchable database. So we have members that ask questions all the time that are answered in a trifold, but they don't know that. And we're hoping that by making a searchable database on our website, we can increase information, increase the transfer of information, of important information to our fellowship. So that's, again, oh, Sue, did you have a question you wanted or a comment? I see your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to add something, Christine. This is terrific. But another example that people wouldn't think about, let's say we're changing the BRB, which we did. We took off the traditional share. What no one realized at the time, including me, because publishing had just started in the ABC, was that when we did that, then that meant that what do we do with the index now? Because all the page numbers change. Mm-hmm. And if the page numbers change in print, then it's got to be changed and the printer's got to be involved. Then we've got EPUBs and the EPUB's going to change. So it's like a domino effect. And then translations, all those that have the translated BRB now are impacted because now we have to ensure that the tradition 3 second share, the negative reference to our gay members, had to be removed from the translations that are going into new translations that we're receiving, and also requests for reprint of translated material that already exists with the old BRB, which would have had the tradition 3 share, second share in it. So it's these kinds of things that are really important, that publishing and literature really are hand in hand, because we have no idea of what impact potentially that has. And it isn't just an impact on publishing, it's an impact on the fellowship, because the fellowship is expecting that the book in hand is the book that we've all approved. And so there's many, many hands and many steps. So I just wanted to give you an example of how this whole thing can evolve. And these are good things. It was a good decision and good decisions to start working to take it out. Nothing against that. It's just more involved than we possibly could imagine. And I'll just add this, is that we already have 669 pages in the BRB. It's huge. And if we start adding things and not taking things out, then it could be even more. And that means possibly an increased BRB cost beyond what we're looking at, if it makes that kind of a difference. So there's so many things that affect literature and publishing and the fellowship ultimately, because they have to have book in hand and the costs to pay for the books. So it's amazing. And we're doing a marvelous job, everybody is. So progress, not perfection. Thanks.
Thanks, Sue. I do want to take everybody else's hands on this point. If I could just finish off with the specific action plans, then this particular piece of the report will be complete and we can take questions and comments. So number 2, review and revise a draft literature policy statement. So right now there is a trifold called literature policy. And the only thing that that trifold talks about is the fact that we are an open literature organization, which means a group can choose any literature that it wishes to use in its meeting, not just WSO approved literature, although obviously there are issues about following the traditions, et cetera. And so we have a lot of other policies that the literature committee would like to communicate to its membership. And that's part of that process. 3, evaluate possible revisions to the Big Red Book by determining fellowship input and needs through surveys and our other needs assessment. I can't emphasize this enough. I know that there are many people who feel that the Big Red Book should stay exactly the way it is. I know there are other people who feel that the Big Red Book should be radically revised. And I think the most important thing is for the committee to really sit back and think about all the different questions and then survey the fellowship. Because it is not our job to rewrite the Big Red Book. What our job is to find out what the fellowship wants and needs. And so that's going to be a long process, and that's okay. But we hope that to be able to survey our membership and find out really how people are using the Big Red Book, what works, what doesn't work, et cetera. And then finally, 4, in collaboration with the publishing committee, make recommendations about timing and delivery methods for new literature. And what I mean by that is, should a piece of new literature be in EPUB and not in print? We need to think about translation issues as well. So it's really important that we step back and think beyond one piece of literature, that we think a little more broadly about our overall delivery of literature throughout the fellowship. That said, you can see this is a huge agenda. This subcommittee cannot possibly do all of this work, but this is a statement of aspiration. And I'm guessing that some of these issues will be more attractive than others. The committee will undoubtedly have subcommittees and working groups, et cetera. It was a large initial meeting, and I'm sure that the next meeting will also be large. So we welcome you to contact Justine and get involved with the Literature and Development Subcommittee. And with that, let me see. I do have some hands. Kathleen S. Mount Shasta. Hello. Welcome. Hi.
Hello. 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 Am I being heard?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I've been a member of ACA for a long time. I was active in a group called the APACA Committee, Anonymous Programs for Adult Children of Alcoholics in the 80s, that produced a service manual and a number of guidelines, one of which was a way to get input shared on, we were trying to use online. It was, 1988, 89. It was pretty primitive. It was dial-up then. But that manual is in the archives and has some what we were doing was we were circulating various people's input on stuff. And revising the Big Red Book probably would want to take a look at this process, because it was a situation where, here's the proposed way of it being, do you see an alternative, an opportunity to put that online and then let it sit in the fellowship? Like this idea of developing a group conscience, giving it time to develop and making sure that people actually have an opportunity to, it's widely circulated and not just, eight people who show up. We figured that out long ago that, on any given service point, there might be 8 or 10 people on the planet who are interested in that right now. But over time, that number would shift and we'd be able to, get a broader perspective. And plus a lot of it, Joe H. is one of the people that works a lot with the international, as we begin to bring in different ethnic backgrounds and different cultural backgrounds, there's going to be information coming in that we have no idea about. And want to have an idea to be able to circulate it, so that we get a chance to see an informed group conscience develop in a way which is not just, we're going to have 3 months. No, we'll set it up so that we have a more or less open-ended thing for, a period of time and then look at it every now and then. I don't know, I'm sounding vague, but.
No, and thank you so much, Kathleen, for those resources. No one here is interested in reinventing the wheel.
and that there's so much in that manual that could be of use and was widely accepted. I mean, APACA committee was made up of a dozen or more large intergroups: Chicago, Seattle, Dallas, Hartford, all in Omaha, San Francisco, Humboldt. There's a lot. It wasn't just the brainchild. There were 3 or 4 of us that actually did the writing. But it wasn't, it wasn't some kind of thing where 2 or 3 people got together to impose their views. So
well, thank you. I'll look forward to seeing that, Kathleen. I appreciate your bringing that into the space. That's very, very useful. And Alexandra, I'm hoping that you can just give us a quick status. I don't want to put you on the spot. About the language committee, which I know is going to be part of our policy, hopefully part of our policy. And that's a new committee. I did speak this week with Joe H., who is the chair of the Representation, Equity, and Accessibility Working Group. And I know that they have a document on inclusive language, which is one issue, but not the only one. Translatability and reading level and a lot of other things come into language. So, Alexander, do you want to speak to that briefly?
Absolutely. Yes, and I was one of those writing that document of representative language that went through a group conscience process in that committee that I was a member of for a long time. Yeah, I've been taking a much needed break between finishing the group conscience process for a couple of 2-3 months with a new hope. And then the next thing on my service agenda is getting the language committee started there. I have two people that have expressed interest, and I will ask for guidance on how to launch this so we can get this going. And yes, to have this, among other things, representative language documents circulated. And one idea that I had is that all committees read it, that it's like suggested reading. So the language we can have in our service is welcoming, and it's representative and helps us spread the message and doesn't inadvertently make a we and them, and just like, yeah, like in this committee too, that we can say that when we speak of we, who are we and who are they? I would like to see a bigger we. I am not part of a small we that is inviting other people here. It's our program. And I think that's really important concerning language, because the principles are so much in the language we use. I find that whatever literature we publish about, and all this talk about reinventing the wheel, if we can like agree by form of group conscience how the principles express in these common words we use, like for example, widely in the US-based World Service Organization, people are using this thing called a mission statement. And when I looked up the word, because it sounded very Christian to me, which is, you know, religious and not spiritual, I see, you know, mission, a Christian way of spreading, you know, whatever, you know, the message. And, you know, I find that problematic, but people are so used to privilege, Christian privilege, that sounds neutral and things like this. But this is for further discussion and possibly a language committee that I welcome. And yeah, thanks for letting me speak.
Alexandra, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that. You know, what sounds to me like a neutral topic, mission statement, you've just really opened my eyes, and that's what we want, right? We want to open our eyes and recognize that we are a global fellowship and be sensitive to our global fellowship. So some of you may know this, but part of our intention in reforming the Literature Evaluation Subcommittee was to invite global members. That was really important because we really want people with more than a US-centric view. Alexandra, you had your hand up again?
Yes, and to be solution oriented, I would also say there is a word, like for example, purpose. There are words that exist that convey the same meaning without having a religious bias. Anyway, thanks.
Thank you. So, okay. Oh, Sue, you have your hand up.
Thank you. I just wanted to echo, I don't want to belabor the point on mission, but I just want to echo that from a global perspective. It's a very colonial term. So sometimes it's not a religious term, but it's an old colonial term. And do we really know that? You may not know that. So we had conversations in global about it, and we now have a purpose statement. We don't have a mission statement. For us, it's got to be purpose because of that old colonial feel to it. So I just thought I would echo that. Thank you.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful article for the Comline? So Brad knows this. I have metaphorical pom-poms and I just wave my pom-poms all the time. But honestly, that's such a just a fabulous example of something that our fellowship, I'm sure, is not aware of. So anyway.
Well, you've just given me the inspiration. At the next global meeting, I will ask if I can get a volunteer to write about colonialism.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Sue. Okay, and we are running short on time. I know everybody's Saturdays are just filled with service, And my heart is filled with gratitude for all of you who are, you know, sticking with it and showing up. I just wanted to finish off, and Justine would be reporting on this, but unfortunately she couldn't be here today. The Content Collaboration Committee. So Justine and I believe Aaron are co-hosting a meeting of any committee, subcommittee, working group, ad hoc group, whatever, that is working on content. And as you can see at the bottom of the screen, the first meeting has been set up for next Saturday, April 9. It would be noon Eastern time, so it's before the monthly teleconference. And the idea is to get together as many different groups as possible that are working on content. Now, I want to emphasize that does not mean that anybody working on any kind of content whatsoever has to submit their content to the literature committee. That is not the idea, as I understand it, of the collaboration committees. But we should know what we're all up to. So there's a healthy meeting checklist that somebody's working on, I think, one of the service committees. Wonderful, great, a fabulous idea. By the way, maybe it should go in the comm line. But the point is, I didn't know about that. I stumbled across it. So what we're trying to do is really step back and say, how can we help each other get our work done, submit our work to the fellowship at large, and be more open about what's going on at these various different groups that are working so hard. They're working very, very hard. And a lot of people have no idea what's going on. So I'm, you know, I'm not Justine. Again, if you want to email her, justinerecovers@gmail.com, or you can contact her on Slack. But all, as I understand it, don't quote me, but I believe all are welcome to the first meeting of the Content Collaboration Committee. And what I've written on the agenda is just what I'm aware of in terms of other groups that may have documents in process. But I'm sure you can add three or four others that I'm not aware of. I will just say, I know there's a service manual. I know the project bogged down and the committee has kind of disbanded. As I say, I know there is a healthy meeting checklist. I know that the Spiritual Inclusion Working Group, Lewis told me they were working on creating a statement, and I would see it at some point, but I haven't yet. I know that Representation, Equity, and Accessibility, I believe, is working on a trifold. I'm not sure what's going on with the traditions or the concepts, but I would love to see something in writing from them or find out if there is somebody working on writing. I know Volunteer Resources is creating a document for new volunteers. I know that the ABC asked to create a working group to develop materials on boundaries. That working group has since disbanded. It has, however, resulted in a boundaries meeting format, and I have placed that under member shared resources up on our website. So again, I welcome anybody else's input so that, you know, Justine can get as large a group as possible into a robust conversation. Alexandra, your hand is raised.
Yes, as a member of the Spiritual Inclusion Working Group, I can also say that we are finalizing the deliverable, the draft, after these 2 years of working and revising and looking at spiritual inclusion and how it's expressed in the Big Red Book and the contradictions. And it's been rewritten once into a cohesive document, and now it's been rewritten again into a, yeah. So it's in the final stages of finalizing this work, so it's easily communicatable and understandable and all of that stuff. Thanks.
Thank you, Alexandra. So, final comments, questions, or concerns? Josh, what would you like to say?
Two things. One, I want to touch on the topic of the service manual. And I think probably, you know, this has been discussed somewhat in principle in the Service Network Committee. Some efforts were made. it kind of stalled out. We're trying to figure out where to go. You know, Sharon was chairing, but she stepped away. So we're kind of like figuring out where things are going. But I think, you know, we're all like, yeah, we kind of need a service manual, you know? And so, I mean, the service, that is a project that the service network committee has established if it wants to move forward. And it's a collaborative effort, you know? I mean, eventually the service manual, it's a piece of literature, right? So this feels to me like a great opportunity for committees to collaborate. Now I know service network and literature are in different collaboration committees currently. However, I know in the town halls, it was discussed that it's not necessarily intended to be like a stovepipe hierarchy situation, mm-hmm. right? So like maybe one committee could belong to multiple collaboration committees, or maybe there's collaborative projects that, you know, connect to committees that aren't in the same, or like, you know, whatever, right? So I feel like sort of as it was discussed in the service network committee, the service network committee might be coordinating, developing content or something, but then other committees might actually be contributing content. But I would suggest that collaboration of the overall effort, which is kind of a project management exercise, would be great opportunity for collaboration between literature and service network. That's number one. Number two would be, we really need some literature on the concepts real bad. That's my personal opinion. You know, eventually I think that might live in the service manual itself. Right now we have a concept pamphlet, but it basically just says what the concepts are. It doesn't actually go into any depth. Like there's a great, you know, visual explainer of the concepts from AA and stuff like that, that, you know, shows what other fellowships have done with this kind of thing to make it more digestible for people, because it can be kind of heady content. And I would love to see that become like an independent piece of literature as well, not just something that lives in the service manual. So that's my spiel.
Thank you, Josh. And you know, those are great topics to put to the new literature and development subcommittee. And I did want to say something that I wanted to clarify, that the literature committee itself is not involved in writing literature, but we are involved in promoting writing literature. And we have a robust list of people who have volunteered to be writers. So let's just say that Josh takes his idea on writing about the concepts, like to Justine's committee, and they go, yeah, that's a great idea. We should write something on the concepts. The literature committee can then go out to this list of 100 volunteers and say, who would like to be involved in a writer team writing about the concepts? Because we do have terrific resources. Now, we still need leadership. That's important. But I want you to know that the literature committee, and this is something we did with Getting Started, by the way. Getting Started lost a couple of its writers. They came to the literature committee, said, we need a couple more writers. We don't know what to do. And we went through the list of volunteers, and Susie, who's on this phone call, and Gretel became the new volunteers on the writer committee. And it came directly from the literature volunteer spreadsheet. That's how it happened. That's the power of having this gigantic spreadsheet. So we have that ability to help people. And right now we've got a number of committees that for good reasons have kind of like outlived their useful life and need to be revived. That's a good problem to have. That's a great problem to have. And we've got solutions. So let's work on them together.
One thing I would say is, I know like one thing I hear more and more as a theme in service, particularly within WSO, is people saying like, I'm available for service for specific types of tasks, right? So if there were like a call put out about, you know, rather than like there's a general volunteers list, if it would be like, who's interested in working on a piece of literature about the concepts, question mark. And then you could say, this person is interested in that thing, but not necessarily this other thing or the general bucket, you know? Because I'll bet you if that call were put out specifically about those, you'd get some hands very interested in talking about that topic.
Thank you. Thank you for that great idea. And Ponta, you had a hand up. What would you like to say?
Thank you. I just have a question. May I have the documents you shared in this meeting today?
Yes. Are you on Slack?
Yeah, I'm on Slack.
Okay. It is in the literature channel, the open mm-hmm. literature discussion channel. It's already been posted there in Slack.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And folks, thank you so very much for being with me this morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on what it is for you. And next week, we'll have a collaboration committee meeting. People will be there or they won't, but Justine hopefully will be back. I welcome all of you who are interested in literature and development, and I want to leave you with a final idea, which is online. Communicate with your fellowship, because you all have terrific ideas. Let's not have these ideas sit in a group of 11 people. Let's get them out into the world. So with that, let's close with a final serenity prayer. Higher power.
Dora, shining soul craft.
Lamb is a serenity. To accept the people I cannot change. Courage to change the one I can. Wisdom to know that one is me. Love you all and thank you for your service. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you for service.
Thank you, everyone.
Take care.
Thank you for your service. Bye.
Bye.
Christine, could you? Yes. No, Christine. I'm sorry, Kathleen.
Yes.
Kathleen, could you stay and talk about Incest Trilogy a minute?
Sure, I'd love to. Yes.
Okay.
Brad, I'm assigning you host.